It all started with a dream.
This is so stupid!
Been waiting my whole life for this. I got some things to say.
I'm still slowly dying, but hey, we all are.
We talked about this before as a part of like a bigger series of things the Bible doesn't say. But I wanted to focus on this one specific one because an article came out in Facts and Trends last week that showed, according to Barna Research, 82% of Americans believe that the phrase "God helps those who help themselves" is a Bible verse, and in fact, it is estimated that as much as half of the people that attend any church also believe that if it's not necessarily a Bible verse, they at least believe that it is something that's true. Mm-hmm. God helps those who help themselves. Of course, it's not a Bible verse.
Nor is it biblically accurate.
Nor is it biblically accurate. But I want to kind of examine that and why. Like, what do we really mean by it when we say that? Why would we think that some people might think that that's right, even though they know the Bible? So let's kind of talk about that a little bit more.
Okay.
The truth about God helps those who help themselves is that it is essentially a legalistic, what's the word, ethos. The worldview that this presents is not necessarily one of grace. It's one of earning grace. Mm-hmm. It's one of works. But not everybody, I think, who believes this is thinking of it in terms of like salvation and grace. I think they might be just thinking of it as like on a daily basis, a day-to-day thing. So like when you hear that phrase, what is it that you think of immediately? Of what it means.
When I hear it, I think that we can't just sit idly by, twiddling our thumbs, expecting for God to put everything into motion. We have to work. We have to do.
Okay.
Which, that is accurate.
Yeah.
We can't just sit and twiddle our thumbs and expect God to just do everything for us. It does require action on our part. But I know that that quote in and of itself is not, I am in the minority.
Right. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, but see, that is kind of like what I think about when I hear that phrase. Yeah. Is, you know, we talk about in Celebrate Recovery, you know, there's when we're trying to overcome our addiction, there's two roles. There's God's role and there's our role.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to do God's role, and we can't.
Right.
And on the other side, God won't do our role.
Mm-hmm.
There is work that we have to do that he will not do for us.
Right.
And when you look at it in that wise, which I do think maybe a lot of Christians who believe this phrase do see it as, again, probably not the majority, but when you look at it in that frame of reference, then it makes a little bit more sense.
Because,
yes, God will help you as you're working on yourself, as you're working to get better.
Right.
God will help you when you put that in his hands and you're letting him take the lead. There is work that you have to put into it, but God will aid you in that and lead you down the right path. So, I mean, when it comes to that interpretation, I think that's 100% accurate, 100% biblical, in that God doesn't do everything for us, but he does take the lead, and he does want the lead. He wants you to not just let him lead, but actually hand him that lead.
Right.
Trust him with it. But as you alluded to, the majority of people, I believe, who hear that think, I got to do what I got to do, and God's going to help me do it.
Mm-hmm.
In the fact that I'm leading, I know what's best for me. I know where I want to get to, and I have to make my, you know, get myself there.
Right.
And it becomes that motivational speaker type situation where, you know, it's the Shia LaBeouf in front of the green screen. Just get up and do it.
Yeah.
You can do it. It's in you. That kind of thing. It's the Rudy, you know, moment in the movies, mm-hmm. where, you know, it's been within you all along, that kind of thing.
Right.
And that is antithetical to what the Bible says and how Christians are supposed to be motivated, find their motivation. Because I think that's one of the biggest, again, you know, we bring it back to Celebrate Recovery a lot because we've been involved with the program for so long. But that's one of the things that I warn against when I'm teaching these lessons is the idea that you had it in you all along.
Mm-hmm.
What you have in you is what got you into bad situations to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how you got addicted. That's how you've let a hurt rule your life. That's how you've gotten all these broken relationships that you've refused to repair. That's why you have unforgiveness in your heart. All that is your best effort.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how this happens. And so we all want to think that we have an underdog within us that is just going to one day snap and realize I could have done this from the beginning.
Right.
And go out there and kick butt. And going back to like my keto thing, the losing weight. This is the most weight I've lost. I believe it's the most weight I've lost any time I've tried to lose weight ever now. And definitely in the quickest amount of time. The last amount of weight that I lost took about this much. Took about 6 months of dedicated trying. And even then, it was mainly because there wasn't anything I could eat. You know, it was kind of forced upon me, mm-hmm. at the time. And so I've been fighting this, and it's actually been a point of contention in my own brain for the entirety of the time I've been the ministry leader,
mm-hmm.
at Celebrate Recovery. I felt like a hypocrite. I'm like, look, I know that I came to Celebrate Recovery with one addiction, and God has freed me from that, and it's nearly been a decade that I've been freed from that. And so I know that I have, you know, the knowledge of how this program works, and I know that I can work it correctly, but for some reason, I could not get the food addiction situation handled at all. I had no traction on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was killing me. I'm like, what do I need to do? I went back, I did another step study going through this, hoping that would help me. I tried to work each of the steps again, you know, genuinely through a different perspective of just thinking about the food addiction and not, you know, anything else that I had been dealing with up to that point, because I thought I had handled most of my underlying issues already.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I had done that that I started to realize, okay, I do have more issues that didn't directly affect the other, you know, outcomes, the other addictions that grew in my life,
mm-hmm.
but were autonomous to this addiction,
right.
Autonomous to this problem. Why couldn't I get over this? And so people from the outside of my internal mechanics might see, oh my goodness, you just one day decided that you were going to lose weight and you've gotten this much result this quickly. You're a motivation, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm like, no, it has taken me so long.
Yeah.
I feel so stupid that it took me this long to work on myself and work on handing over this garbage of my life that led me to this, to God, to the point where I am now... I mean, I nearly let it completely destroy my health.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have been fortunate enough that even though I've been overweight most of my life, I haven't had any really negative results from it yet. But then, finally, a diagnosis of, well, you're in type 2 diabetes territory here and you have to change some things was enough to help me focus on what God had been leading me through in this recovery journey this past couple years and get something done about it. But I 100% know that this is not in me. Because if it was, I'd have done it long ago.
Mm-hmm.
This is not my strength at all. Because I have failed in it time and time again. I even tried doing keto at one point, and I failed at that about 5 or 6 years ago. And so the idea that we always have this power inside of us and that we just have to unleash that and then God comes in the picture. Then God will come and help you get to that point is backwards.
Mm-hmm.
It's the God is my co-pilot idea.
Right.
We want God to be our pilot.
Yeah.
Hand all the junk over to God. You can request where you want to go. That doesn't mean that's where he's going to take you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay. You know, there are several times in the Bible it says, you know, give your requests, give your desires to
God.
Well,
he already knows anyway.
Right, sure. But it's okay to voice them if it makes you feel better.
Sure, right. What I'm saying is he already knows them, so duh.
Yeah.
Just talk to him about them. And he's either going to bring you to them or he's going to bring you peace about them.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he works.
So I've talked a lot. What do you think on the topic here?
So
I was all over the place and I apologize for that.
Truth bomb that I'm about to drop on y'all. But Chris and I had this very conversation about 3 months ago when he said we were talking about a situation in someone's life that we know, and he said, well, God helps those who help themselves, so they've got to do something if they expect to get out of this.
Mm.
And in that moment I was like, how do I gently and lovingly and biblically correct my husband without coming across as condescending and like I know more than him?
And see, that I'm just, let me interject real quick. That's a proof positive of how easily this sneaks into our brains.
Yes.
Because we talk about it so much. Because Chris is not a dumb man, and he is definitely not ignorant of his faith and,
right,
and the Bible.
Yeah.
And to have that sneak into his own thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that. Yeah.
Yep. Go ahead. So I had to say, you know, babe, that's not completely accurate. And so we had this nice long conversation about what it means and what it looks like. And I explained, just like I did with you on, you know, just a few minutes ago, that yes, it does require action on our part. We cannot just sit idly by and expect God to do all the work. We mm-hmm. do have to move. I once heard a sermon by my home pastor that I just loved. Now, as an adult, I look back on it and I'm like, okay, I really should go revisit that sermon again and kind of pinpoint the verses that he used and make sure that it was biblically sound. But the I guess precedence behind it, the idea behind it was taking the verse, those that wait on the Lord shall mount up with wings like eagles, run and not grow weary. Yes. Soar and not grow weary, run and not grow faint. Anyway, that verse, and it talks about specifically the word waiting.
Yeah.
Waiting on the Lord. And that does not necessarily mean sitting and just watching in the sky.
Absolutely.
And waiting, but more like a service, like a waitress or a waiter, to wait on the Lord to do his work while waiting for him to bring you through whatever mm-hmm. trial or temptation or whatever it is that you're going through in your life, doing his service, doing his work while also waiting. So I love that idea. I love that mentality because it requires action on our part. Because we do have to get up and move. But we have to remember that we are not our rescuer.
Yeah.
God is our rescuer. He is the one who is going to, in the end, redeem us, pull us from whatever pit we're in. It is not within our own power. We do not have that underdog with inside of us that's just waiting to come out and save the day. The person who's going to save the day, the one and only true that's going to save the day, is God. And without allowing him to lead and take that control
yeah.
over our lives, then we're just going to get ourselves right back into the same mess that we started in, just like you said. That's the only place that our own will and our own power has gotten us time and time again, mm-hmm. that's proved true time and time again. We can all pinpoint circumstances and instances in our lives where, okay, I got this, I can do this, I'm good, and I fall into a huge pit.
Right.
You know, one way or another.
If you could have saved yourself, you'd have done it by now.
Yeah, it never turns out good. But when you take that step and you go, you know what? I am powerless. I cannot do this on my own. But I'm going to pray through it, and I'm going to take each step believing that right alongside me, God is holding my hand, walking with me. He is leading the process, and I am just following his lead. Then you're going to get a different outcome. You're going to get a different...
Yeah. There was a book that I read by Kevin DeYoung. It was called Just Do Something.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of touched on a little bit about what you said in that while you're waiting on God to lead you somewhere or give you an answer, don't just sit in your recliner and yeah. do nothing.
Right.
Get up, do something productive for your life and for God and for the kingdom, the ministry work. Do something mm-hmm. until you have a clear path of where you're going to go. I recommend that book.
Yeah.
It's a very small book and it's very good. But yeah, I think that's great. I think that's actually a great way to end that discussion as well. But you can read that article. We didn't actually really touch that much on the article itself. It's at factsandtrends.net. It's called The Lie About God Half Your Church Believes by Jared C. Wilson. It was published just last week, so it should be easy to find. It's a good article. And definitely worth the stop by.
Five random facts. Pizza Hut delivered a pizza to the International Space Station in 2001. It took days and cost $1 million for the 6-inch pie to reach its destination.
Is it even worth it for just a 6-inch pizza?
No. And the fact that it took days. By the time it got there, it was gross.
But they did
Jeez.
It.
Jeez.
They delivered.
Orthosomnia is a condition in which someone becomes so obsessed with getting a good night's sleep, they actually lose sleep over it. I have done this multiple times. Like when I have somewhere to be early in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Gotta get a good night's sleep. Gotta get to bed. Gotta get to sleep.
Gotta fall asleep now. If I fall asleep now, I get 6 hours of sleep. If I fall asleep now, I get 5 hours of sleep. If I fall asleep now, I get 4 hours of sleep. Oh my gosh.
One of the things that stinks about being on this keto diet thing is that I have more energy.
Uh-huh.
And I'm also sleeping better at night.
Yeah.
And so before, even though I was tired a lot of the time, the one thing that was positive about that is when I went to bed and my head hit the pillow, 60 seconds within that window, I'm out.
Yeah.
And now I am finding myself like every other night just up. And I'm like, I got to go to sleep.
Fall asleep now, body. Yes, I know. You got to start doing, you should do my trick and then tell me if it works. Chris okay. says it does not work. It counteracts him, but it works like a charm for me.
Okay.
I make like an internal list of things that I need to do the next day. Okay, when I get up, I need to get the kids ready. I need to make
now,
sure that they
I've
have
done
this.
That.
Really?
It stresses me out.
It works so well for me. I'm like five things into my list and I'm snoring, so I'm good.
No, I'm making that list and everything I add to it, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have so much I have to get done tomorrow.
I might as well just get up now and right? start.
Like, I got to set my alarm an hour earlier.
Okay, then don't do it. In 1999, the group Bloodhound Gang released a track titled The 10 Coolest Things About New Jersey. The song is just 10 seconds of silence.
Rude.
Right?
Reliant K released a track on, I think it was their 5 Score and 7 Years Ago album.
Okay.
Where it's 10 seconds long, too. But it's just Matthew Thiessen singing, I just wasted 10 seconds of your life. Bomp. That's the whole
song. Hey.
That was really funny.
That is funny. An estimated 7% of men suffer from paruresis, an anxiety disorder that makes it impossible to urinate if other people are nearby.
I am one of those 7%.
Are you really?
It has been a nightmare in my life.
Can you just go away?
I'll be in a movie theater bathroom or something. I'll be in the urinal closest to the wall in the corner. Six urinals over, somebody comes and uses the furthest one over there. And I just sit there and I'm like, come on. Will you please just go? Just go. I remember in high school that freaking me out because anytime I need to use the bathroom, there's always 18 other kids in that bathroom. And I developed the trick in high school. It's the only thing that makes it work, and it only works half the time. It's I have to belittle myself. I have to sit there and internally name call myself.
You're
such
a loser.
Yes. I have to go, are you stupid? What is wrong with you? Just pee. You think anybody else in this room cares about you peeing? You just need to get it done. Name calling. I've even cussed myself out a few times when it got ridiculous in my brain, because I don't know what it is. The shy bladder thing. It's so frustrating. It is the most frustrating thing I've ever had to deal with about myself.
Now you know more about Matt than you ever thought you would know.
But there's someone out there who feels my pain. There's a 7% of guys out there who know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I'm sure someone, one person is listening going, yes, Matt.
I feel you. I feel your pain.
All right. Only 6 corporations control 90% of what we read, watch, and listen to in the United States. GE, News Corp, Disney, Viacom, Time Warner, and CBS.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. As I was reading this, I was like, this is kind of scary. Yeah. Like, and everybody's okay with this? Also, I'm kind of surprised Apple's not listed.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not. They're
You're not as big as you think you are.
Well, they want to be. They will be soon. All right. So, TikTok.
Oh, Matt.
Big app doing big numbers, causing big problems.
I hate TikTok. And I am not afraid to say it.
Tell me why, Mo.
Oh my gosh. So yesterday I told you that, you know, we went to a gymnastics competition a couple weeks ago. So I am surrounded by children of all ages. Uh-huh. You know, they all have different show times. So, you know, their first show time may have been 9 o'clock in the morning. Their last show time may be 6 o'clock in the evening. So they're stuck in this arena all day, right? Mm-hmm. Running around. It's now become their second home. Kids are doing TikTok videos left and right. And it's like, hey, look, they're doing a TikTok. Ha ha. Okay. But more than that, there was a group of like, they were probably between 8 and 12-year-olds, okay, mm-hmm. that were sitting directly in front of me. Their mom was right next to them, a chair away. And because I'm directly behind them, I can see everything that they're looking at. And I had TikTok for all of a day, I think, before I was like, this is dumb. I don't need to be seeing half the stuff that's on here. My kids certainly don't need to be seeing it. And so as I'm sitting behind this group of kids that are my youngest child's age, scrolling through, looking at half-naked people doing sexual things, and I'm like, you are basically watching porn right now. And it's okay because it's a glorified app. It's TikTok. It's mm-hmm. okay. I wanted to throw their phone across the arena. It took everything in me to not, like, tap the mom on the shoulder and be like, excuse me, do you know what your kid is watching right now? If your kid has TikTok, delete it from their app today, this second. There's no need for it.
Yeah. So there's that. There's also the national security concern.
Oh, yeah.
With TikTok.
Yeah.
That comes from China, I believe.
Yeah.
It has been recorded to suck up a bunch of your personal data
yep.
and send it over to
everybody China. Was so worried about that face app that was a big thing for right. like a week because in the summer because of Russia.
It was from Russia. That's all it was.
But everybody thinks TikTok is the world's best thing.
Yeah. The military has come out and said to all of the people in the military, do not own this app. Like, that's how serious they are about this TikTok app.
I don't understand how it became so big. I really don't.
Look, here's what happened. We had Vine. Vine was fun. People used Vine to make actually pretty clever content. You had 6 seconds to make something cool. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed Vine. I was on Vine for a little while. Made about, I think, 80 Vines of varying quality. Some of them I'm really proud of. But it was fun. Twitter bought it. And then like a couple months later, like, we don't want it. And so they just deleted it. And it was gone. A little bit later, sneaks in TikTok. Started out quietly. Like, hey, this is kind of a cool replacement. But then it got overrun by the Snapchat teenagers who were getting bored of Snapchat.
Mm-hmm.
I want to keep my videos. I want it to be scrollable.
Mm-hmm.
And so TikTok became super popular. And exactly what you're talking about started happening. It became garbage videos.
Yeah.
Not actual content creation. Like, there is that on there.
Right.
But it's so intermixed.
It's like one in 1,000.
Yeah. With, you know, 12-year-olds gyrating and trying to, you know, still do that weird dance that Miley Cyrus did. Twerking, whatever, on there. Like, why is this allowable?
That's my thing. How is it okay?
So, yeah, there's that too. And then they're also having another problem, and I think it stems from the fact that they're from China, is that, you know, they do have paid content, like sponsored content, ads and things that they're supposed to be paying out to certain creators. And apparently that money's getting held up a really, really long time. So that's one of the other problems that they're having. So creators are getting mad with it too, the actual creators on there. So TikTok now finally has some competition, and it's a new app called Byte. And it is actually the long-awaited reboot of the once-beloved Vine app.
Okay.
It went live a little over a week ago and quickly reached the high numbers on the app stores, the high trending numbers. Here's why it could be huge. Though it's already having a few problems with bots and spammy comments and accounts, it is gaining attention, and the creator-focused approach could cement its place as a social media favorite for Generation Z. Featuring 6-second looping videos, just like Vine, the app hopes to differentiate itself by making it easier for content creators to make money from the get-go. A pilot of their partner program will launch soon, and if it works, it could lure many influencers and their fan bases away from TikTok, which has been slow to compensate its stars. And since it's an entirely new frontier, many teens who hope to gain followership may quickly migrate before it becomes too saturated with big names. But the idea, from what I can tell, because we jumped on it. We jumped on it. We got an account for Backward Radio. We made our first one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm proud of it.
I loved it. Okay.
It's really good. Go check it out. There might be a couple more by the time you're actually listening to this. But what I can see, number one, it looks a lot cleaner than TikTok.
Okay, good.
And number two, it does look like you kind of have to search this stuff out. It's not you open it and you're automatically inundated with stuff you don't want to see.
Yeah.
Like, you're seeking out content creators.
Okay.
And so your feed should only be, much like any other places, most social media, only be what you've already agreed to see.
Okay.
You know, they're not putting, you know, gyrating teenagers in front of you. When that's not what you want to see at all.
I hate TikTok.
It's so terrible.
It is awful. Gosh.
So this might be the killer. This might be the killer. I kind of hope it is.
Yeah.
Because Vine was... no social media thing is perfect. But
right.
I feel like Vine was a treasure. And I really was sad when it went away. And so if Byte continues down the road that it started on here of... keeping it in the spirit of Vine and keeping it content creator driven and not just anybody with a phone driven. I think it could be a good thing. Now, my hope, I won't say prediction, but my hope, this is going to eclipse TikTok and be a better all-around experience on social media.
So.
Yeah. So we'll be a part of it until it crumbles to pieces anyway, and we'll make some fun stuff every now and then.
Cool.
I'll even make Mo do some.
See, no, I couldn't ever get into Vine because I'm not a 6-second person.
Yeah. Like, oh, it's difficult. It makes you think.
And that's also why.
How do I make a joke in 6 seconds?
Also, why I'm not a big Twitter person, because I can't. Like, you cannot put a cap on me, people.
Gosh. I can't be contained.
It's the truth. For anyone who knows me, you're like, yeah, that's true.
Well, it is Wednesday. We're going to play a game, and this is going to be the beginning of my attempt to take back the title belt for Mo. So I got to win this game, and then I get to challenge her for it in the same game next week if I win.
There's so much pressure.
So we are going to play a game that I'm actually terrible at, so you might be fine.
Okay.
And you know I'm terrible at this game. It is
the
5-second guess game where you are given a name three things.
In 5 seconds.
And it's kind of a speed thing. I think we do, I don't know how we do it. We just do 10 and see how many we get. I think that's how we did it. We haven't done it in a little while.
I thought we just did as many as we could in a minute, right?
Does it give us a minute? No, you have to pick how many rounds.
Oh, okay.
But it gives you that option.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to pick, we'll do 10.
Okay.
We'll do 10 rounds. All right. Oh, but that's right. It also makes us two players. So we'll stick with 5 rounds, and that'll give us 10 questions.
Okay.
We'll just keep it on one person at a time. Okay.
Cool.
Instead of trying to switch the phone back and forth. All right. Here we go.
Here we go.
Are you ready?
Yep.
I'm challenging you first because it's my show, I guess. Because I wrote it.
Whatever.
This hasn't started yet. Name 3 bands with a number in the name.
Blink-182.
Oh, I did it wrong. I was supposed to ask the question and then hit the button. I hit the button and then asked the question.
See?
Let's just
start That one over. Was a wash.
Wash.
Good, because I could
over.
Only think of one.
My bad, y'all. That's not fair. All right. Name 3 universities.
Oh, Texas Tech, Eastern New Mexico, and East Carolina.
I don't think so.
Man, there's so much pressure.
All right. Name 3 things that fly.
A bird, an airplane, a jet.
Yeah, you got that one. All right. We do have to run out all the clocks here. Got that one. All right. Name 3 things you see in the sky at night.
Stars, moon, the sun.
At night?
You can see it at night.
At night.
Yeah. Planes. You can see it
night
at night.
Night is the absence of sun.
You can see it at night.
No, you cannot see
yes,
the sun
Yes, you
at
can.
Night. How can you see the sun at night?
If you are in the right place.
What? No, because anywhere you are with the sun, it's not night.
This is why my dad always said I should be a lawyer.
If you're in the right place, you can. All right, but you did yell planes before the end, so I'll give you that.
Thank you.
Name 3 countries starting with C.
Colombia.
Chile, Canada.
Oh! Hi!
China.
But see, then I always have a hard time with, like, especially the Southern American, South American.
Yeah.
Are they countries, or are they states, or are they cities?
Well, they're countries. Oh, but you just mean the names.
Yeah. You don't
remember what they are. Gotcha. I gotcha. All right. Ready?
Yeah.
Name three flavors of ice cream.
Vanilla, chocolate, strawberry.
You're so boring. You had plenty of time. You could have gone butter pecan or something up in here. Name three famous boxers.
Rocky Balboa. Is he real? Muhammad Ali. Is Rocky not a real person?
That was Sylvester Stallone in the movies.
No, but wasn't it a real, like a movie about it? No.
I would have given it to you because he is a famous boxer who didn't say specify a real person.
Oh, man.
Oh, gracious.
Okay. So I got three.
Huh?
I've gotten three. How three many are right? we doing?
You've gotten three right.
Yeah.
It's not over yet.
Oh, I thought we were only doing five.
No, five rounds, but that's still 10 questions.
Oh, okay, got
just
it.
Just for the app's sake.
Got it.
All right. Name three cinema snacks.
Twizzlers, Red Vines, M&M's.
Throwing it back to our Twitter question yesterday. All right.
It's the only thing I could think.
Name three things you can cut.
Paper, your flesh, and food.
Your flesh? You sounded so sinister the way you said it.
Your flesh.
Oh, gracious. Okay, you got two more here. Name three Pokemon.
Can I phone a friend?
No. If you can do it within the time limit.
Pikachu. That's it.
I know a few. I know at least three.
Pikachu, Squirtle.
Squirtle, Bulbasaur, Mewtwo.
It takes me way too long to try and remember the conversations my 14-year-old has with me. Jigglypuff, yeah. Okay. Sorry, Topher.
Failed that one.
Let you down.
All right, I think this is your last one. Name three things you buy in a bakery.
Donuts, bread, and pastries. Pie.
Donut, a pastry.
Pie. How about that?
All right, you got six. Hey! 6 out of 10. So not bad. Not a bad start.
All right. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I just hit play, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Name three words that rhyme with red.
Bed, head, dead.
Okay.
I'm determined to do well.
Nailed it. Okay. Name three things you can wear on your neck.
A scarf, a tie, a bolo tie, which is a different thing.
But it's a tie.
Just because it has the word tie doesn't mean it's the same thing.
You could have said necklace.
A bolo tie.
A necklace. It's in the name.
I didn't think about necklace. You know how I play this game. I go for the wild stuff. I'm playing for keeps here.
I'm going to be nice and say nailed it, but I don't think you did.
A bolo tie is different from a tie. Come on now. It's different. It's
sure, not it even, looks different.
It's not even made of fabric. It is made of, well, it's technically, it's leather. It's like a leather, it's almost a necklace.
Listen, this is my you can see the sun at night argument, okay?
People agree with me.
No, I don't think they do. Name three different exercises.
Lifting, running, jogging. Running and jogging are essentially the same thing, but technically different.
You're cheating.
Tell me I'm wrong, Miss Marathon. Tell me I'm wrong. Is a run and a jog two different modes of running?
But seriously. Biking, swimming.
I know. I understand that I'm bad at this.
Squatting, lunging.
But as long
Zumba.
As I can, as long as I can pull in the technical win, I'm going to go for it.
All right. Name three actresses.
Nope. The first name that came to mind is a news anchor. I almost said Katie Couric. No, she's not an actress. And then my mind just went blank.
Okay, failed it.
I'm terrible with name-based things.
Oh my goodness, okay. Name three banks.
Western Bank, Citizens Bank of Clovis, America, Bank of America.
You okay there? Take a breath. Almost choked. Western Bank?
There's a Western Bank in town here, so I'm counting. It might not be a national bank, but it's on pile. It exists.
Are you sure it's not Western Union?
No, it's Western Bank. It's not Western okay. Union.
All right, nailed it. Name three types of tree.
Oak.
You're welcome.
Wow. Wow. Pine.
Elm.
Elm. Evergreen. Christmas tree.
I would have given you Christmas trees.
I hate that. Your brain just empties out.
It does. It just I know. Goes
like, I don't know. And yep. Leaves.
Uh-huh. Yep. Countries that start with C.
I know trees. I know plenty of trees. At least three I should be able to name right off the top of my head. Oh, this game.
Oh, man. Okay. Name three countries with two or more words.
Oh, my gosh. No. I mean, United States. That's all I know off the top of my head. Yeah, it's hard to even think of any, isn't it?
They should give us a list of, like, possible answers afterwards.
I mean, Russia used to be Soviet Union, but it's not technically it now. I guess I still could have said that because it was a country.
Yeah.
What's another one that's two words?
I have no idea. Hey, Siri. Tell me some countries with two or more words in their name. See, this is what I don't like about Siri. Alexa just gives me the answer. She tells it back to me. Siri, I've got to go do my own research.
I found these articles.
I know. Oh, you got this one. You ready? Name three superheroes.
Superman, Green Lantern, Batman.
There you go. With 5 seconds left.
Black Lantern, Flash.
Nailed it.
Supergirl.
I can't tell, like, how many rounds we've done and how many you have right.
Well, how many have right, you just add those two numbers together. But
that's not true.
Yeah. Oh, that's how many are right.
Oh, okay.
For each player, but technically it's just one player, so you add them together.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Name three things found in the ocean.
Shells, seaweed, fish.
Good job. Trash.
Trash. Cruise ships.
Cruise ships. Name three comedians.
Bill Cosby, which is rough. All of them I'm thinking of are bad. I don't want to say them.
Jeff Foxworthy, Bill Engvall.
Yes. Gabriel Iglesias. I kept coming up with Louis C.K. All the ones that were in the Me Too movement. Like, no. No, I don't want people thinking I listened to these guys.
Failed it. Man, I thought you were going to get
Dave
that
Chappelle.
One.
I know plenty. Brian Regan. I know a lot. Jim Gaffigan. I know so many. And I freaked out because the ones I immediately came to mind were terrible people.
Because Bill Cosby. Are you done?
I guess that's all.
And you had six. So
we tied?
We tied.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, let's do four.
We can do three. A lightning round.
One lightning round?
And we have to get it. Like, you have to ask me a question, and I have to get three, or I lose.
Okay, so we're just going to do one thing.
Yep. Until the person
Until
doesn't
the
get it.
Until the first person loses, yep. I guess, essentially. Okay.
Here we go. It's about to end right now.
Name three animals that begin with the letter A.
Aardvark, armadillo, antelope.
Yes! Dang. Dang. Oh, I looked at it. I'm sorry. Because I can't pick more. I can't just pick one.
Right.
You know. All
right. Okay, ready?
Okay.
Name three celebrity couples.
Forget you. Forget you. Forget this game. I hate it. I hate it all. Forget. Stupid. game is stupid. I don't know who picked this game, but it was stupid.
I win. Just in case you didn't know.
Gosh, that is so maddening. Of all the possible
questions. I mean, you could have just gone with Brad Pitt all around. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston.
I already established I have a hard enough time naming three celebrities, just single celebrities. Now I have to remember couples. I don't know couples. I don't follow gossip. I remember Brad Pitt and Angelina, I do. And I remember Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston from when that happened, that transition in life.
There was two
That's
right
where
there.
I would have stopped.
I would have given you those two because they're not current couples, but you know, whatever. It works.
Oh, gosh.
Then you could have just made up one.
Forget it. I
Bonnie
lose.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Game over.
They're celebrities.
Jeez. So upset. Today we're going to be talking about four keys to breaking a bad habit. Now, as we typically do with these lists, we're going to kind of go through them. We're not necessarily automatically endorsing this list.
Right.
This isn't our list. This comes from lightworkers.com article, How to Call on God to Break Bad Habits, Four Helpful Keys by Sarah Calipes. Ends with a Z. So we
Hi,
got
Sarah.
Four things. We're going to read them and give you our thoughts after we read each one. So the first one is mindfulness. One key goal to forming new habits is mindfulness towards that habit. Mindfulness is important because one can only break a bad habit when you recognize that you're doing it. For example, if you made a commitment to watch less television and read more, it's important to recognize the habits that led you to turn on the television in the first place. If you intend to eat healthier, the first step to mindfulness might involve consciously not buying unhealthy foods or bringing mindfulness into food choices when you are about to eat. A visual reminder can be another way to maintain mindfulness towards your new habit. It might be helpful to write down the positive habit and have it positioned in a place that you will often see it. So part of what this is talking about is like root causes of our bad habits. When it says, you know, if you're turning on the TV, find yourself turning on the TV all the time, you need to try and figure out why. What leads you to constantly turn the television on? Is it an escape from something? Is it escape from stress? Or is it just for, you know, a time of enjoyment?
Mm-hmm.
Is it to block out thoughts, block out children, you know, some other cause? I mean, I think I agree with this one.
Mm-hmm. I do too. I like the idea of putting something in the area to remind you,
mm-hmm.
you know, to make you.
Yeah. When I was going through counseling, dealing with my initial bad habits that started me down the road to Celebrate Recovery, it wasn't so much about developing a new habit, but it was more about trying to fight a mindset that I had. I was very depressed. I was very down on myself. I was worried about, you know, how can I ever do anything again without it being tainted by, you know, my past mistakes, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing. And I thought, you know, if I ever tried to do something meaningful or artistic or anything like that, it would never be taken seriously,
mm-hmm.
just because of my past. Mm-hmm. That's the mindset that I was in. And I remember my counselor got really mad at me when I said that. And he said, if you want to do some art, do some D-word art.
Mm-hmm.
And don't ever be afraid to put it up next to everyone else's art. And for some reason, that just really stuck with me. So I wrote that down on a piece of paper. I laminated that thing and I hung it up where I would see it every single day.
Yeah.
And, you know, it reminded me that it's not... That's me condemning it before it ever happens.
Right.
You shouldn't not take the chance, not take the risk, or not put yourself fully into something that you're passionate about just because you're afraid it might not be received the way you want it to.
Right.
Because that's just letting that happen before it even begins.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's kind of what I get out of this, in that, you know, if you want to be, if you want to make a change in your life, remind yourself of how important that is. Remind yourself not to quit before the miracle happens, kind of thing.
My friend has a thing on her refrigerator, a dry erase board, and she wrote a little note to herself that I really love that says, "Fridge pickers wear big knickers. Stay strong, wear the thong."
Slightly inappropriate.
Mindful. Hey. Why is that inappropriate? It's mindfulness. It's making her think every time she goes to open up the refrigerator door.
If you want to be popular on TikTok. Throwback to an earlier segment in our week. All right, number two on this list of four keys to breaking a bad habit, prayer. If you find yourself struggling for success, prayer is another important tool for breaking bad habits. Call on God for strength to make new decisions and actions. It's important to remember God can give you the strength to overcome difficulties and challenges in life. God is always there for you, supporting and carrying you. Think of the verse 1 Corinthians 10:13. Donald Trump will read, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." And see, that's where a lot of people get that idea of God will not give you more than you can handle. But that's not the full thought.
No.
It's more that God won't give you anything that you can't handle without him. Yeah. Or with him. Yeah, with him. Sorry. Yeah, I almost ruined it again. I don't find anything wrong with that one. That one seems completely spot on, and a lot of the basis for Celebrate Recovery and stuff like that is that this is, and we talked about this earlier in the week too. If you could have done it on your own, you'd have done it already,
right?
You need God's strength, God's power, God's willpower, especially that you just can't seem to muster up on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 100%. Number three, reframe and resolve. Forming your resolution in a positive way can create a positive perspective around the change. For example, instead of resolving to stop eating junk food, it might be easier to make the resolution to eat healthier food. So instead of a negative connotation, make it a positive connotation. Mm-hmm. If you are hoping to pray more, reframe the intention to create a better relationship with God instead of stop skipping quiet time,
you know,
or something like that. These changes turn the resolution into an encouraging and positive message of change instead of a burden or a rule to follow. Ephesians 4:22-24, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that one.
Yeah.
It is always good to be positive when we do, like, inventories in Celebrate Recovery. You know, they stress how important it is to list the positive and the negative. You know, mm-hmm. the positive along with the negative. You don't just want all negative. And it's almost like when you phrase it like that, we'll use the junk food thing. I'm resolving to stop eating so much junk food.
Mm-hmm.
That's a condemnation on yourself. Yeah. Which, I mean, I won't say it's never beneficial to be self-condemnation, because, you know, initially that might spark you, but it is not a good thing to stay in that condemnation,
right.
To let that be a driving force in your change.
Yeah, it's rarely motivating for the long term.
Right. It's just like shame and guilt. Shame and guilt have a place, but you're never supposed to live there.
Right.
And so if you're constantly in that mode of condemnation of stop this instead of starting a new habit, then it's always trying to get rid of a negative aspect instead of trying to add a positive aspect.
Right.
So I'm trying to be less terrible is the goal. Not, I'm trying to be better. Bless
Sorry.
You. You only get one. Sorry. That's my rule. You get one. Bless you.
Apparently, that's all I'm worth to Matt. No, and I
agree.
But
you see what I mean? Yeah.
100%. Yeah. And they, a lot of child psychologists, I couldn't think of the word, use this
child
tool.
Actors.
child psychologists use this same kind of tool as far as teaching children, as opposed to constantly saying no and telling them what they're doing wrong and, you know, redirect and say something positive.
And how that could be better. How they could
exactly.
be better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I, yeah. That makes sense to me.
And we're all just big kids anyway. So, you know.
And lastly, time. Number four is time. This list of four keys to breaking a bad habit. It's important to remember that habits aren't changed overnight. It takes time and energy and prayer to shift behavior. You may not be successful every day or every moment, but through steadfastness and support from God, you can shift bad habits to a more positive and healthier choice. Through prayer and mindfulness, you can be strengthened to make positive changes in life for a healthier and happier self. Again, spot on.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we harp on a lot, I try and say nearly every lesson week anyway, is that this is about progress, not perfection.
Right.
God is not expecting you to be perfect. Last week, Hillary and I talked about gospel tracts, and one of the key faults that many of them have is that it tells you the steps to find salvation start with repent and then pray.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a prayer of salvation. And that's backwards.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't need you to clean anything up in your life before you come to him.
Yeah.
He wants you to come to him right now. He'll work on your garbage after the fact.
Right.
Come to him as you are. Then you can start working on yourself.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's especially in like the chick tracks. Have you seen the chick tracks?
No.
Those are those really overly cartooned ones that go heavily after like Halloween and Dungeons and Dragons and all these kind of things.
Okay.
They're awful. They're just terrible. They're the worst. But that's what they do, is they really harp on, you know, repent first. Mm-hmm. Fix yourself first.
Yeah.
Essentially.
And you're never going to be
right.
able, yeah.
That's not how this works.
Right.
And so in the same thing is that you're not going to be perfect. You're not going to, my phone just went off. I turned it up for the game. Sorry. you're never going to reach a place of perfection. No matter how good you do in overcoming bad habits, you're never going to reach a place of perfection. You're always going to have that temptation. You know, that the idea like with alcoholism, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic.
Right.
That's a rough phrase to think of because it does put a little bit more condemnation on you than you need to have, especially once you've had significant clean time.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is still backed up in that you really shouldn't let your guard down at any point in your life. If you had a problem with alcohol, if you had a problem addictively consuming alcohol, you should probably avoid alcohol.
Right.
Forever.
Yeah.
Because you already know that you have a tendency to lean on that in a very negative way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, though the phrase isn't perfect, the idea behind it is, you know, accurate for the most part. And so that idea of progress is you can reach a really great place. You can reach a place where you feel like, you know, you're in tune with God and his strength that he's provided for you, to where you're confident that you're not going to struggle with it. But you should never let your guard down and should never get to the point where you think you're perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so it will take time to get to that point, though, where you're comfortable. Like, I had an issue with pornography for a long time. It started before I had even hit puberty. So it was a part of my entire, like, identity growing up. And there was a long period of time where I thought, there's just no way I'm going to be able to get rid of this,
mm-hmm.
this addiction. And like I said, I don't know if I said it today or yesterday, but we're getting up to almost 10 years since I've looked at the stuff,
mm-hmm.
which 11 years ago, I would have said is impossible.
Right.
You know what I mean? But that time, that steady working eventually got me to a place where I had work. And in fact, all these things were all four of these. And, you know, a lot more of the keys that we learn in Celebrate Recovery were all very helpful tools, very helpful ways to frame my mind, very helpful Bible verses and truths. It is possible. Some of you might be out there and you're hearing this kind of stuff and it seems, oh, this is all very positive, encouraging Bible nonsense, mm-hmm. you know, kind of stuff that, oh yeah, well, you'll never really be able to do anything with just this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's don't defeat yourself before giving it a try.
Right.
You know, there are a lot of people that start recovery and they're just not at a place where they're going to give it up and they fall away or they relapse and it takes more time. That's going to happen. That's a reality.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean you should just give up and give into it. When you come to be a little more clear-headed, get up, try again.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We have a new Celebrate Recovery in our town that has just started up, led by my former Celebrate Recovery leader here at our ICR. And, you know, he's starting a new one up with a whole new group over at his new church. And I'm excited for that. I got to go to the first one. And it's exciting. It's fantastic to see there's already a lot of support.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was worried about the specific church, you know, if they would support it or not. Mm-hmm. If it would be just an offshoot ministry that's just happening, or if people were really going to be there and be involved.
Right.
Which is something that I still struggle with in my church, mm-hmm. you know, getting people involved. But then we had a group of three other churches who are thinking of coming together and making a joint CR at another part of our town that came and joined us this last Thursday. And it's for that reason of there are so many people out there who have just given up hope.
Mm-hmm.
And these three churches actually come from one of the rougher neighborhoods in our town. And what's really cool is that they're all three like Baptist churches, but one of them is heavily white, one of them is heavily Hispanic, and the other is heavily Black.
Hmm.
And they thought they've wanted to do a lot of things interconnected.
Yeah.
And they thought the first thing should be an outreach to the neighborhood around us.
Yeah.
Which is just, that's like the heavy drug area in our town. So like, this should be the first thing. So they're going to do a Celebrate Recovery.
That's awesome.
And they're in the starting phases. But this kind of stuff does work. And we're seeing that more and more when you really look into it.
Yeah.
Too many people brush off trying to get better because they think recovery doesn't work. And that's because there's a lot of Christians out there who are saying that 12-step programs aren't, you know, worth it. They're not working because there's no, like, statistics about people who have been cured. And that's just the point. You don't get cured. It's not about perfection.
Right.
It's about being better.
Yeah. Well, and sadly, there is a large number of Christians also that just think that when you come to salvation, all your problems are fixed. Yeah. And if they're not, then they question your salvation. They question your Christianity. And a lot of times, never are all of our problems fixed the second that we come to salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
Mm-hmm. One of the key reasons I stopped debating people online happened shortly after I was having discussions with people about Celebrate Recovery online. Mm-hmm. And you would have that person chime in every now and then. Why don't you just ask Jesus to take that addiction away?
Yeah.
You must not really have a lot of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could have reached through the screen to punch somebody, I would.
Yeah.
I'm like, look, I said this in one of our lessons a couple weeks ago was we all know somebody who like smoked for years or drank for years and one day decided, you know, I probably shouldn't do this anymore. Put and it down quit. And never picked it up again. Mm-hmm. And there's a name for those kind of people. They're jerks. They're jerks. I said, no, it's great. But there's a reason that this is a process, and it's not typically our reason. Mm-hmm. It's typically God's reason.
Yeah.
Because as we talked about in the first part of this thing, is that it's not usually about the addiction.
Right.
It's about what led to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's about changing your entire life, your entire way of thinking, and the entire way you react to things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot bigger of a task than just dropping one bad habit.
Right.
So I like this list. I like how it framed that. I think it's very accurate in that way. I think this is a good start for somebody who's looking into how to drop a habit like that. And we're not just talking alcoholics and drug addicts, but like even just having problem forgiving people mm-hmm. or stuff, anything that weighs you down and keeps you from being the person that God is wanting you to be.
Yeah.
This is a very accurate time to use the Philippians 4:13 verse that I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Mm-hmm. This is one of those things it's actually talking about.
Right.
It's not talking about climbing Mount Everest. It's talking about doing those things that we think we can't ever do.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't let something go. I can't drop this addiction. I can't, give my all to God mm-hmm. in these certain areas because this is holding me back.
Mm-hmm.
This is when you need to lean on God's strength. You're powerless. If you come to that realization, good. We are a lifeless battery. God is the charger.
Right. Yes.
The podcast you just heard was made up of clips from the Morning Side Hug from the past week. But there is so much more show to hear. Sign up for our Patreon podcast for as little as $1 a month, and you'll receive all 4 weekly episodes of the Morning Side Hug in full. Visit backrowradio.com/partner to support our radio ministry. Thank you. God bless.